Hi, everybody. I'm so excited to be here at Annie Asks for Well Read Magazine with founder Mandy Haynes, and I thank her so much for letting me have this column where I get to interview David Bell, my favorite thriller author for years, and his wonderful wife, M. Hendricks, who I'm so excited to meet for the second time, kind of, sort of, because she was sitting in a little bit on an interview before. So I'm very excited to have you with us and have you both together, because I know during the pandemic, you guys kind of held us together with your fun podcasts.
We saved the world, yes.
Yes, you definitely saved the world. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. So I just want everyone to know, if you don't know them, David Bell is a New York Times bestselling thriller author. His latest books are Try Not to Breathe, which was published in June, and then back at the end of last year, She's Gone. Here's the book. She's Gone, She's Gone, She's Gone, She's Gone.
Yeah, you have to say it five times.
Yeah. But I didn't read Try Not to Breathe yet. But, I mean, I'm madly in love with all of his books. So in love that I made my book club get these. Well, I didn't make them. Everybody joined in to get these shirts.
Oh, yeah. It's a David Bell summer.
Okay, yeah.
Because he comes out with a book every summer.
Yes.
Every December 31st, a paperback. I mean, I stalk him. I stalk your husband.
In the best way possible.
That's okay.
In the best way. Don't write a book about it. Don't write a book about it. He's a professor of English at Western Kentucky University. And he could be found at davidbellnovels.com. And then we have the wonderful M. Hendricks, who, like me, she loves to write short story collections. And how much fun does this sound? How to Survive Graduate School and Other Disasters.
Yes.
Graduate school has to be really tough.
Yeah, that came out a long time ago. I have a new book out this year. Yeah.
Pardon me?
The new book is out this year. The Chaperone.
Oh, my God. I didn't know about this. Oh, my gosh.
Hot off the presses.
I mean, when did this come out?
June 2023.
Oh, the same time as that's a lovely cover.
Isn't it gorgeous? I had the best designer.
Liz Dress. Is this a thriller?
Yes. Dystopian thriller. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I have to get this.
You're, still behind on your reading. You have two books to read now.
Yes, you do.
Now I have two. Yes, but it's it's perfect timing in the autumn. I love to read in the autumn. Well, I love to read all the time, so as we all know. Okay. So what I do is I do write a little article about you both. And now thank you for telling me about The Chaperone. I'm sorry I didn't know.
Okay. I'll send you an updated bio when we're done.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you so much. Okay, so what I do is I ask about 10 Proust questionnaire questions, and they're to learn about your character. They're not normal, like, so where do you write, where do you read, stuff like that. If you want to pass, just say pass, we pass. If one of you wants to answer, but the questions that I chose I thought were perfect for thriller authors.
Good.
And I love that you're also a thriller author, but I thought it was perfect because you lived with a thriller author.
Oh, yeah.
But I figured he had to tell you, like, his stuff. Maybe he doesn't.
Oh, no, he tells me.
We'll find out. It'll
be like an episode of the Newlywed Game.
This is great. I should have done that.
25 years of marriage. We'll find out
how 25 years.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I know.
Oh, that's so great. And then you both came out with a book at the same time.
It was 21 days apart.
We planned it all to happen. The 25th anniversary, the books, and COVID all in the same summer.
I mean, you're amazing. And then you had your show, which was so fun. And then your movie, your movie recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
Which and TV recommendations, which I followed, which was fun.
Good.
You're both very entertaining people.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we know you're entertaining also because your books are so entertaining. Okay. So I have to say, the first question is, What is your greatest fear?
I don't think either one of us could narrow it down to just one. We have lots of fears. I assume death is just too bland of an answer to give.
Yeah, it is. Of course, it's the worst fear.
That's true.
Probably for me, it would be heights.
Heights.
Yeah, well, we just took the Amtrak, and he refused to sleep on the top bunk.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Too high for me.
So any height.
Yeah. This chair is too high for me.
And we took the Amtrak because my greatest fear is flying.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, yeah. So,
oh, wow. But
the Amtrak bedroom car is pretty amazing.
I'm sure it is, but you don't get to go to Europe and stuff like that.
Oh, there's the cute Queen Elizabeth, too. I'll take that.
Oh, interesting. You are so funny. That's great. That's true. There is ways to get around everywhere.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I'm scared of heights, too, David. And I went up with my sorority up the Statue of Liberty, and it started to twist. So I assume, we're in the arm. So I got sick. And they said, you got to come down. You got to come down. So I came down. I sat by the elevator, waved for my sorority sisters. And the guy says, honey, you haven't even passed a foot. Like, you got to be kidding. It's mind over matter. You know what I mean?
Sure. So,
and I was inside something. Okay, here we go. What is your greatest extravagance?
The Amtrak bedroom car, for sure. You know how expensive it is? I mean, that's probably travel, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we just took our long trip to California to go to BoucherCon, and then we also turned it into a 25th anniversary trip. So I don't know if anybody knows this, if they've been to California, but it's expensive in California. I don't know if anybody's noticed that. But yeah, that was the most extravagant we get was the trip to California.
I bet it is expensive. Where in California was it?
Well, we went to BoucherCon was in San Diego, but we went to LA, Palm Springs, San Juan Capistrano. Where else did we go?
Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara was the cheapest place. I'm kidding.
We didn't even get to see Harry and Meghan. Yeah. I was kind of disappointed.
Yeah. Oh, that sucked. Oh my God. But that's so funny.
It was beautiful, but it was shockingly expensive.
That sounds like a great trip, but it also, that reminds me of like old time movies. Did it feel like that?
Yes.
Yes.
It felt like we were in the past. At one point, you looked out the window and what did you say?
Well, the whole trip was in black and white to begin with. And then, we were on the train out, you know, we went through the way out, you know, west in the middle of nowhere. And I said, there were times when you would look out the train window and there would be, it probably looked the same 500 years ago.
Right.
Just the prairie or the rocks or whatever. So
that's so interesting.
It's fun to take the train if you want to someday.
And it's old fashioned too, because you go to the dining car where there are white tablecloths and servers. Somebody at night comes and puts your bed together and pulls down the sheets for you. So it feels like you're in another era.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I'll have to try that. Because I shouldn't be flying planes either. The other thing
you can do is if you want to try it, you can always go one way on the train and then go home on the plane.
Oh, that's a good idea, too.
The East Coast has the most beautiful trains. They have bigger windows. But the West Coast has better food.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I'll have to check this out. I'll definitely have to check it out.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sure. I took the Amtrak, you know, from Hampton, Virginia to Richmond, Virginia, but that's not the same. That's not the same.
Yeah.
That's like because I had no money. Okay, here we go. This is a bad question, but I have to ask it. You're thriller authors. So, how would you like to die?
peacefully.
I would like to die when it's my choice. You know, like I feel like I've done everything I want to do and I'm starting to get to be 100 years old.
Right.
I feel like I'm a little sickly, so I'll go ahead and choose death. That's
yeah, like I feel like I'll just like go to somewhere where you're allowed to take a couple of pills, mm-hmm. you know, because you're 100 and you.
But I have to be like, 100 and
yes, yeah, sick. I totally get it.
And the Reds and the Bengals have to have won the World Series and the Super Bowl the same year. So I'm going to stay alive until that happens.
Oh, you're going to live 500 long. Years.
We don't know. But yeah.
Are you still there, Annie?
Sorry, that was Patricia Sands calling me. She's on her trip in France.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well,
yeah, she does a tour with her books.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No, it's fine.
Anyway, okay, sorry. Now I'm lost. Oh, but what I wanted to say to you, David, was you're going to live a very long time expecting that the same year.
Well, that's my goal. I was picking something nearly possible.
It's like me expecting the Mets and the Jets to win at the same time.
Exactly. Well, that's
the Jets. They'll never win, will they?
I know. I love
No, they just got Aaron Rodgers. So, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
I love underdogs.
That's okay.
You guys are talking sports. It's all over my head.
In case you don't know, the Jets went out and made this massive trade for Aaron Rodgers, and he was going to lead them to the Super Bowl. And I think I'm not trying to make fun of the fact that he got hurt, but he was literally in for like 4 plays.
And that was it.
And hurt his ankle, and he's out for the year. So
stuff like that always, oh my God.
Like peak Jets. But I'm used to that too because I'm a Bengals fan. So.
But that happens to the Jets. Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But I do have to say something. David, you're hysterical. Like, you're hysterical. Yes. You know, I've spoken
with Art. Don't encourage me.
I don't know how you live like with the jokester all the time.
It's just funny because he doesn't write comedy and he writes about death.
But I know. But some things are funny in the books. But I will say Art Bell, you know, he invented Comedy Central.
Oh.
We should get you two together. That would be funny.
We should.
Not Art Bell, the UFO guy?
No.
Okay. Because he's dead, I think. And so we.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like me with stiff person syndrome. I want to meet Stephen Hawking, but that's never going to happen. I mean, ALS and stiff person are so close, but he's my hero. Okay. What is your motto? I think that's a good one.
Oh, I have a motto and I forgot it. What was it? I know what mine is. I remember.
Okay.
Remember? I have a embosser. Empathy above all. That's my motto. So M is short for my real first name, but also for empathy. Because when I decided to use a pseudonym, I wanted to go with empathy as my first name, and my parents had a fit. I was going to go by Empathy North, and they said no, meaning empathy is like your North Star. I shortened it to M. So now I just have an embosser that if people meet me in person, sometimes I'll emboss their book with my seal that says M. Hendricks, empathy above all.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't know that I have a motto, but my goal this right now, starting in the fall, is to slow things down. I want to slow things down. So that's my motto right now.
Wait. Do you mean slow your writing down?
No, not necessarily. I'm just, we had a busy summer. Yeah. There was a lot going on, and so we're just trying to have a calmer pace of life. We just took this trip and all that, so now it's fall. We're hoping things slow down a little. It won't, I'm sure, but, you know.
Well, you want to have more balance, right?
Yeah. Well, it is hard on us, the people that watch you guys, right, when you're not at home, like on TV together. And you're traveling, it's like, oh my God, they're away. You like missed them. It's fun. I mean, that kind of stuff happens. It's really strange because you feel like you get to know people.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in your home and they're acting normal.
Sounds like we should bring back the TV show.
Yes. I mean, that we all love.
Find a sponsor for it who will pay us a lot of money. And then, yes.
There you go. Well, okay. Don't think I won't look, Taylor.
Okay.
Okay.
Have your people talk to my people.
I will do that. Okay. I know your people. Okay. Who are your heroes in real life?
In real life? Like, do they have to be alive or can they be dead?
They can be dead, but like a real live, like a real life, not like Superman. Well, no. I mean, I'm sorry. I love Christopher Reeves. So, but just not Superman. It could be Christopher Reeves. You know what I mean?
Okay.
He's gone, but I love Christopher Reeves. Yes. And I saw him do a motivational speech when he was injured. And it was so empowering. Oh, I wrote about it in my memoir, which you love.
Right.
And empathy and compassion was my whole goal for that book.
Oh, yes, totally. So most of my heroes are writers. I try to work into every book Anne Frank, because that's one of the most inspiring books I ever read. And it was the only book I read in high school written by a woman. In my high school, we read dozens of books written by men, usually dead men. But we also read The Diary of a Young Girl. So I work that into every book I write. I adore that book. I would say a couple other people who I really admire. I love the author Kimberly Brubaker Bradley. I think she's an amazing writer. My favorite book by her is probably The War That Saved My Life. I want to write the way she does. Okay. And then I'll add Ira Glass. I think he is one of the best storytellers alive.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love learning new authors. So
he's the podcast host. He created
now
this American Life.
So he has a broadcast. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, so now you've given me 5 books to read, and the list goes on.
Yeah.
And
maybe
David,
we should stop the interview so you should get caught up.
Are you bored? I'm sorry.
No, you've got
all this stuff to do.
You have to read all these books.
I know, but I have plenty of time now. Okay, so David, you're a hero in real life?
Gosh, I don't...
Would it be that student that you stole the story from?
not that person. Not my students, for God's sake. I admire writers. You know, we go to these writing conferences like BoucherCon or Thriller Fest or whatever, and there are always tons and tons of writers there. And people notice, obviously, the really famous writers. And I understand that. There's a reason why those writers are famous. They've had a lot of success. They write great books.
And you're one of them.
But I really always am impressed at those conferences when I meet writers who maybe I haven't heard of or I've barely heard of, and I find out they've written a lot of books. They continue to write books year in and year out. They may not have made tons of money. They may not have had a movie made or whatever, but they continue to do it just because they love to do it. And so they promote their books and they go to the conferences and they keep writing and they keep going. And I think the people who do that, not just in writing, but almost in any profession, whether it's sports or other arts or whatever, I think the people who just keep trying and keep going and keep doing it year after year just because they love to do it. I really admire the people who do that. So,
sure.
So there you go.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
It is.
Yes. And I made that up off the top of my head. I had no idea what Proust question was coming. But there you go.
But that means you love someone like me. Because
yes,
I've been
doing
for 20 years.
Well, that was my story too. I'm at 28.
28. And you know, like for me, I love... You know, there are certain like popular famous authors like I would consider David because of all the books that come out like crazy. My favorite authors that I always follow. But I always have a whole bunch of debut authors that I know like well ahead of time. And I'm sorry I didn't know about Chaperone. I don't know how I missed it.
That's
but
okay.
I've been getting a lot of treatments and stuff. So I'm a little off right now. But
okay.
I'm very excited about it. Okay.
Good.
But debut authors are my loves. And I'm a debut author now, too. So,
yay.
Yeah.
Yay,
okay.
Debuts.
Thank you. Okay. What do you believe to be your greatest achievement?
Okay. Well, so for me, it's that I spent 28 years trying to get a novel published. And now, you know, it's finally out 28 years. And that
Chaperone. I mean, I love that cover.
Gorgeous. Liz is the most brilliant designer. that I didn't give up. You know, I think I started writing 28 years ago. I started my first novel 25 years ago, and I've written, I'm probably like most writers, a lot of novels that didn't get published, and I just didn't give up. And I kept trying, and I kept saying, what can I do to make myself a better writer? I think I sent out like 400 query letters. I just didn't give up.
That's amazing. That's great. You know, the authors that I hear from the most that are very, like the most successful, like, you know, Robert Dagoni, he got like 500 rejections.
Wow.
Like, and he didn't, he taped into his wall. Now he sells, you know, like 5 million books, like, you know.
Wow.
So like, yes, don't give up. I think that's such a powerful message.
If you like TikTok, I have some videos about that on TikTok.
Oh, okay. I'll have to watch. I do love TikTok. We have an author coming out, and I want to tell you guys about it. He's coming out in February, and he wrote a book called Walking Among the Trees.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, it's a wonderful thriller, exorcism type of book. Ooh. And you have to read it. You will love it. It's one of my favorite books read. Okay.
Sweet.
Which talent would you most like to have that you don't already have?
Wait, I feel like you didn't answer the last question.
Oh, wait, you didn't.
Oh, I was hoping you would forget. No, I think that, yeah, I mean, the greatest accomplishment professionally is just having a career, you know, just that I couldn't, you know, things have, I wanted to be a writer and I dreamed of being a writer. And then the fact that it's happened seems like a huge accomplishment to me. And I'm very greedy because, like, you know, and most writers are probably like this. Someone publishes their first, they think to themselves, I just want to publish one book. Just do that, right? And then as soon as the first book is published, we think, okay, I want another one, right?
That's true.
So, or maybe it's just I'm just a black hole of greed and selfishness. I don't know what you mean. But now, like, enough time has passed, and I just think, I look back, and it's almost shocking that I've published as many books as I've published and stuck around for a while because it's just, yeah, it's wild.
My shelf leans because of you. It leans. But I will say,
put a brick under it.
There is.
Yeah.
But okay. But I'll say this. I can't put any, like, you know, little words underneath it, like book mail is best or something, because it'll definitely tip it over. Okay. But, like, you know, if I already had the book and then you send me a copy with your autograph, I keep both because I just can't get rid of them. Now I'm going to have to get yours and put it right next to them.
Well, they have autographed copies at Parnassus Books. Ian Patchett's bookstore.
Okay.
Yeah, they have signed copies there.
Perfect. Then everyone needs to know that's where you can order it, and that's where I'll be getting it from as soon as we get off. Okay. What quality do you wish that you had? Oh, no, excuse me. That was wrong. What quality do you most like in a man or a woman? So you answered opposite. So
this
David, you tell me. Yeah, this is good. You tell me what quality you like most in a woman. And yeah, I thought this was a cute question. And it's perfect because it's your 25th year together.
And Proust came.
And that's a huge, yes, that's a huge accomplishment as well. 25 years.
25 years of marriage? Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
It is for me.
Yeah. So the quality I most look for or that I most admire in a woman?
Yes.
Okay. Well, these days, now that I'm this age, I want her to have like a membership to Walgreens or CVS to get my prescriptions. That's the number one thing.
I love it. Yes. That's perfect.
I kid. No, I think that the most appealing quality in someone is, you know, confidence and, you know, the willingness to say what they think and comfort being themselves and that kind of confidence is probably the thing. Yeah.
That's wonderful. I love that.
So for me, and this was evident as soon as I met you, I am only attracted to people who are very passionate about life and what they do. And they have to have a sense of humor and they have to be smart. And they have to wear glasses. I forgot. They have to wear glasses.
They have to wear glasses. Oh, my gosh. And you definitely knew.
Look how the list just keeps getting longer and longer of qualities.
Yeah. And so, wait. And want to be an author and all this stuff. So, the second you met him, you knew he was the one?
It was actually, like, the first time we met, we only talked for, like, 2 minutes. So, a few hours later, we ran into each other. And then I had a sense.
Yeah. But then
our first evening hanging out, I knew. Yeah. So that was like just 48 hours later.
She right? proposed to me that night.
That's not true. No.
I'm kidding.
2 weeks later, you brought up marriage at a White Castle. Remember?
I did. It was a.
And he crowned you.
If you dine in White Castle together, it's romantic.
That's romantic.
You'll be together forever.
You said, who knows, maybe we'll end up married someday. That's what you said.
That's so romantic.
I thought, look, she likes to eat in White Castle. What more could I be waiting for?
Yes, and then the CVS and the Walgreens card.
That came later.
You weren't paying attention. I didn't eat any White Castles. I just had French fries because I didn't want to eat the White Castle.
Oh, okay. Really? I love the White Castle.
Let me.
So that's so great, though. I love that. I knew I was going to marry my husband the first second I met him.
Aww.
He worked at a drive-thru coffee truck, gave me coffee, and I went to my job for the very first day. And they said, oh, you already got coffee? I said, yeah, and I'm going to marry the guy that gave me the coffee.
Wow.
And I would put stuff in the back seat of the car, like fishing poles and Twister games. To make him ask me questions about, why do you have Twister back there? Well, I'm really good at that. I like to fish.
Oh, now, why did you fall in love with him the minute you saw him? What was it about him?
Because I was waiting online at the drive-through, and a bunch of construction workers jumped off the back of a truck, which we all know get picked up off the corner of the street. And he took off his gloves, and he gave them to one of the men. And I said, that's the man I'm going to marry.
That's a good man. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Yes.
I like it.
And that's the type of person he is. Mm. Okay. What words and phrases do you overuse? We're almost to the last question.
Oh, well, one of my Goodreads reviews said that I used the phrase, I didn't know I was holding my breath until I let it go. And I guess you're not supposed to use that.
So. Oh, but that's good. I love that.
No, I think it's a thing on Goodreads. I've read it in other reviews, so I need to stop doing that.
That's funny. You know, I mean.
And also because I'm from the 80s, I use the word like too much, and I have to remember to cut it.
Oh, yeah. I understand that.
Like this, like, all the time. Valley.
I always like to say mint. That's mint. So mint. Yeah, that's. I'm in New York, though. Maybe that's a New York 80s thing. Because I graduated 87.
But I lived out there then, too. I don't remember mint. I like it.
Yeah, it was, everything was mint. If it was good. Like, you guys are mint authors.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you, David, what's a phrase you overuse?
I grew up in Ohio, and we just started saying mint now. It just got to Ohio.
Everything's late to Ohio.
4 years.
Even later to Kentucky.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
I can't imagine.
My students tell me that I will say right too much. Like, I will say something to them, and then I'll say right, because usually 80% of them are asleep and not paying attention to me. And I never know if anyone has actually listened to what I say.
I didn't know they told you that.
Yeah. And I don't know if I still do it. I mean, that's come up with my students. I mean, every time I've written a book, my editor will come back and say, you've used this phrase too many times. And it's different with every book. It's just something that happens depending on the book. So there's always something in each book that an editor will come back and say, oh, you said that too many times, you know, and I just repeat myself. Right. So anyway, I don't know.
Right. I understand that. I always say it's a David Bell summer. I don't know why.
That's okay.
I always say that. I'm stuck on it. Like, it's
okay.
We want every summer to be a David Bell summer.
Yes. It's my favorite. And it's the only thing I ever made up as far as phrases go. So, okay. This is your last one.
Oh, wow.
And before the rapid questions, which are very quick. Okay, what do you consider the most overrated virtue?
Well, let me think about that. I would say, what's a word that means the ability to make money?
Oh, the ability to make money.
Right? Is there a word for that?
Greedy, greed.
Well, greed. But that's not considered a virtue. I just mean that, what I'm saying is, I think in our society, we think that if someone makes a lot of money, they're successful. And I don't agree with that. So maybe it's monetary success is not a virtue in my mind.
Oh, my gosh. And you would love me because all of my book is going to charity. So, I'm the total opposite. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's so great. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, no. Thank you. And you, David?
The most overrated virtue?
Yep.
I'm thinking of this because we just went on this trip.
Oh, wow.
Adventurousness is what I would say. Because there's this notion among people that...
Yeah.
You have to travel. You have to travel to certain places. You have to try different kinds of food. You have to do all these different things.
You have to jump out of a plane.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's fine if people want to do that. You know, I know people who are adventurous and do those things. I would classify myself as less adventurous in some of those regards. But there are lots of places you can see near your home. There are lots of things you can, you know. So I just think that we the definition of adventurous sometimes is skewed toward certain things that, I don't know, not everybody has to be adventurous in the same way or do the same things or like the same thing. So
see, we all love, I always say we, I do have a group of David Bell lovers, but this is the thing. And you're just part of it. And because you guys were on the show together that we watched. So I say the show, cause I tell the dogs, they have to be quiet. Mommy's going on TV. So okay. They think it's TV. Okay. So we find you more fun at home as homebodies.
Yeah.
Than adventurous. You're more fun to us. So I agree with that.
Okay. As long as we're not at home because there's a pandemic and we're not allowed to.
True. That's true. But I will say that as a couple, you seem the most successful to be. You know, it was wonderful. It was wonderful for me to see because I was having a little bit of trouble with the husbands being home.
Because we're both writers, you know, we're home a lot. So we're used to being home with each other.
We are opposite.
Yeah.
We didn't experience the pandemic like other people because I moved my parents to Kentucky. And so there were four of us
who were in a bubble.
So when we would come home and not because my dad was sick, then we felt like now we're getting our alone time. So we didn't get sick of each other because we didn't have a lot of alone time.
Oh, I see. So
we didn't have the same pandemic as everyone else. We were, you know, at my parents' house a lot. So.
Right. I see. That's interesting. Well, I hope he's okay now.
Well, we lost him, but.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. He was very sick and it was better for him.
His time. Right. I understand. Yeah. That's good. I agree with stuff like that. Okay. So, quick rapid fire questions. Ready? Yellow light, speed up or slow down?
Speed up.
mostly I slow down, but I do think I speed up occasionally.
Okay, Oreo. One bite or open it and lick the cream?
Throw it in the trash.
One bite, probably, yeah.
Okay. Well, I would ask the.
I only ate the cream out of Oreos when I was a kid, which probably bugged the crap out of my parents.
I know.
And now I'll eat the whole thing. Yes.
Oh, I love it! I love it. That's great. Okay, so the next question is: bagel, toasted or not toasted?
Ooh, can we do both? Can we have one toasted?
Yeah, I do like, I am like that.
I like it both ways. I love all bagels.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't feel that strongly about it. I like it both ways, yeah.
I like that. Okay, okay. Hamburger or hot dog?
Again, can we have one of each? We love food.
Oh, I just love this.
I'd probably come down on the side of hamburger.
Yeah, I would if I had to pick.
But I like it when you go to a cookout and they're both.
Yes, I like that too. I like that too. Yeah. When we go to my in-laws, I always ask for hot dog because we always have hamburgers. We never have hot dogs.
Nobody ever serves. Like when we were kids, hot dogs were everywhere. Now you can't find a hot dog except at a baseball game.
Well, on Long Island, we have hot dog trucks all over the place.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Even on Long Island, out east where I live.
We always have served chili dogs at a 4th of July party we have. And people go nuts. They're like, when was the last time I had a hot dog?
Yeah, that's nice. That's a lot of fun. A hot dog with baked beans on it is good, too.
I've never had that.
Try it sometime.
Okay, yeah. We're going to have that tonight.
Perfect. All right, so my last question is, thriller movie, do you prefer to have, like, the comfort of a blanket because you're scared, or you're just not, you don't need a safety blanket, security blanket?
I don't watch any movie without a blanket. I've got to have a blanket no matter how hot it is. And if a thriller, yeah, I got to hide under the blanket, or sometimes I hide behind the wall. Like,
me too.
I'll leave the room and go out and hide behind the door.
I don't use a blanket. I like watching a movie. We watch all movies with it being pretty dark, but I, especially a movie like that, it's fun to watch with all the lights out in the house.
Oh my gosh.
Especially now as October's approaching.
Oh, I'd be so scared. Yeah, there's going to be a lot. Isn't it funny? A lot of people do the one eye as if like they're seeing less of it.
Yeah.
But I cover my eyes and look through.
I saw Freddy Krueger, my first date, and I jumped up. And when I came, remember, the seats used to fly up. So I landed on the ground. I was like, I remember watching
Halloween at a sleepover in the 80s, and we all had popcorn, and something happened, and we threw all the popcorn up in the air.
Oh, that's so hilarious. That's so funny.
I was.
That's great.
Well, you don't get scared from movies, and I do.
See, you don't get scared from movies? Did you get scared writing the book?
No.
I'm going to tell you a little secret. Somebody called they were like, Annie, I need one of your doctors because they know I have thousands. Okay, not thousands, but a lot. So I didn't know what they were going to ask them or anything. And at the end of the book, they said, and Dr. Robin Bliss, thank you for telling me how to not kill somebody by stabbing them in the stomach at the same time. And so now I went to her and I said, I don't know how comfortable I am with you being my doctor. Like, you tell
them about it. Doctors love to talk about that stuff.
Yes, they do. Yes,
you get a doctor going, and because they, you know, they're so scientific minded, and they just like to spin out the scenario of, well, you could do this to somebody, you could do that to somebody. And think about it, your average doctor, I mean, mostly they're seeing kind of boring stuff.
Yes. Like, little paper cuts.
In with strep throat or whatever. So if you go into the doctor and you're like, how do you murder somebody? That makes their day. They love to talk about that.
That's true. You're absolutely right. And they love to read. They love to read.
We're lucky because we're friends with our doctor, so we can text him and say, how do we do this? And he'll write back a really long response.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm friends with all my doctors, too, but for different reasons. But if I ever write a thriller, I guess they're right there for me. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you for your time.
So wonderful. And I can't wait to get both of your books. And you're at, what is your website?
Mine is mhendrickswrites.com.
mhendrickswrites.com.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that.
That's all my social is all mhendrickswrites. It's Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram.
We need to watch your TikTok.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I haven't done any for a couple weeks, but there are some really great TikToks on there.
Would you mind if I sent you Frank's TikToks about his book? Because his TikToks are the bomb.
I would love to see it.
Sure.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Great.
All right. Well, it's been such a pleasure, and I hope you guys have a wonderful 26th year.
The Reds are playing the Mets this weekend.
Oh, my God. Are they really?
Yeah. Would I lie to you?
No, I didn't know. I wasn't paying.
In New York.
But oh.
But look, the Reds have a chance to go to the playoffs. The Mets are out. So you root for the Reds.
Look.
Root for the Reds.
When I worked for Microsoft, they would get a whole big room for us for Mets games.
Okay.
Because the owner of the company loved the Mets, but it was like they lost every single time. So, but I love the Mets because I met Daryl Strawberry. I met Roger McDowell, Gary Carter, all the 86 Mets.
Yeah.
And you can't beat that. I wrote them a letter and I said, you won, because that's what you used to do back then. You wrote letters to the stars.
Right.
Famous people. So I wrote, you won in 69 when I was born. I turned 16 this year. I would love it if you would win.
So
I told everyone they won because I wrote the letter. That's what I told them when
adorable.
I met them.
That is why they won.
Well,
I was just a little kid, you know, but anyway. Yeah.
But the Reds last won the World Series 3 weeks after you met me because I was good luck.
See,
there's always something.
It all worked out.
You and I have so much in common, Em. I would have called myself the name that you told me.
Right. Well, so I grew up in New Jersey. That might be why.
Oh, that's definitely what it is. Because my two best friends, sorority sisters, are in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So that's what it definitely is.
Yeah, and it wasn't that far outside of New York.
Gotcha. I love it. All right, and I do want to give a shout out to Anne Marie Nieves because we all know her and love her.
Yes,
and we gave a shout out to you guys, so I want to do the same for her.
All right.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful
week. Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.